Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
In the studio tonight, it's myself, the authentic Lord Reverend Dr. Captain Kickass Buckshot Esquire, if you will, LLC. Joining me,
Steve Classic.
And Richie Rich.
What have you guys been up to?
About 170, 175.
Yeah. Yeah. You've got pounds.
I'm pushing it.
Yeah. You probably shouldn't
get
any thinner.
I had pizza last week.
Well, oh.
Yeah.
You probably shouldn't get any thinner, right?
No, well.
You're pretty thin now.
What's the perfect size for a male?
A male?
A man.
A man?
Well, that depends.
Well, I don't know.
Is your mom asking or are you asking?
No, I'm just saying.
Is your wife asking? I don't know.
If you were sculpting the perfect male specimen.
Right? I don't know if it's a weight thing.
Height and weight. Well, height and weight.
Height and weight. It's like 6 foot. I don't know. 180?
Okay.
I guess. I don't know.
I have no idea.
All right.
Couldn't even tell you.
Even when I like would do sketches or whatever, I used to do, I was a fan of like superhero comics.
Yep.
And so I would draw these like, you know, muscle bound looking, you know, superhero types or whatever. And they were always disproportionate, like giant shoulders and chest, but like tiny legs,
okay.
Almost no torso, you know,
right.
Or very V-shaped, right? Mm. It looks like one of those memes where like the dog's all like buff or whatever.
I don't know the name of the
it's
meme.
It's one of the crypto memes where like they show the dog,
Peppy
the little
coin?
Dog,
no.
But then
oh,
like
Doge
they show
coin?
The big dog, like he's all buffed out. Like anyway, that's fine.
I mean, I might be able to picture the meme, but I'm not drawing like what it's called.
It's not important.
Yeah. Okay.
But I like even when I work for the sports entertainment company.
Yes.
We'll have guests in, or you'll see the event, and they'll say weighing in at 200 pounds.
It's a big midget.
And, yeah. You know, like, wow, he's like weighs as much as I do, but he's like super jacked up.
Oh, yeah.
Right now.
Yeah,
so the muscles weigh more than the fat.
No, it makes me angry when like, like the NFL, they're like the linebacker is 6'4", but he weighs what I do. And I'm like, oh, man, I am really overweight.
Yeah.
So I don't know how recent his comments were, but Hulk Hogan just said something similar, right? Like wrestlers today look like normal people. Like when I broke into the business in the 80s. You'd go into the locker room and like two of the guys sitting there looked like serial killers and the other guy was like a big jacked up muscle dude and then next to him was like Harley Race.
Right.
Right. And then he was like, and they told you when you walked in there that in order for you to like make money and eat, you're going to be taking food off of that dude's plate. You know? And that's how like cutthroat it was.
Ooh.
And then now wrestlers look like us or smaller.
Oh yeah.
Like I'm a heavyweight. By modern standards.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm not. Like I'd get.
I mean, there's a couple of big guys.
I would
there.
Get destroyed by a real heavyweight.
Right. I mean, there are fat wrestlers like Otis,
right.
Otis, who's just, he's, 6 feet in all directions.
Yes.
But there are guys who are probably weigh just as much as him.
They're tall.
But they're tall and muscular.
Yes.
So. I don't know if the weight thing is it or the muscle thing is it or the
well, that's
acrobatics
why height and
or
weight,
whatever.
You know, like height and weight, you said 6 foot, 180. Like that's ideal. Okay, that's fair.
I just, I'm not a doctor, but.
Well, so.
I, however, am. No,
you,
it's only
you
honorable.
Are the honorable.
So for me, it's the ideal, like, you know, if you're going to, like, this is the peak, right? Like 6'5", 270.
Oh.
If I was like 6'5", 270, like,
that's
forget
your
about
ideal.
It. That's my ideal.
Oh.
Now. 6'5", 270, if you put it in like to a BMI thing, that dude's obese, right? But you see it on an athlete, and they're like, no, that's peak performance right there.
Right. And the other thing to take into account, too, muscle weighs more than fat.
I get
so,
it.
So, like, I mean, I'm just thinking of my own, like, stuff, right? I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right.
But if I scale it down to, like, my height, right, if I'm going to be, like, my height, because I can't control my height, but I can control muscle mass and weight, right, I think it was, my height and around, like, 180 or so. I'm like, okay, that's doable.
Yeah. Hey, I'm not fat. I'm just short for my weight.
You're not fat. You're fit.
I'm in shape. Round is a shape. Qualified.
Fits into maternity clothes.
Please call in now and save us, please.
There is no evidence of the captain in maternity clothes that I'm aware of.
It's just the extra elastic around the waist, man. Yeah. That's all I'm going for.
Could be an AI program that could come up with that.
What is it when you start wearing sweatpants, you've just given up? Is that what they say?
Yeah.
Jogging suit or something like that?
Yeah.
I did that for a while. There was a website called like the Gray Sweatsuit Revolution.
Yeah.
And it went on for like a summer and I found it late, but I did it for like 2 years.
Yeah.
And that's all I wore.
A gray sweatsuit?
Just gray sweats.
Oh.
To everywhere but work, because I got to go to work.
Yeah.
One of my...
But it's gray sweatsuit and kung fu slippers.
One of my bass players used to wear the striped jogging suit sweatpants.
Like the Sopranos?
Yeah, like two gigs, right? And... Because they're comfortable, right? Like, sometimes when you're on stage, like, the look doesn't really matter. You just want to be comfortable for the gig, right? You know? And so he took that to an extreme. And so he would wear the two or three striped jogging pants.
Right.
And then he had the matching jacket to go with it, too, so that when the gig was done and he had cooled down, he'd put the jacket back on. And at some
point... And then
went
back to his day job in the Russian mafia.
No, at some point, somebody, like, at a show came up to me and they're like, "Who's that guy behind your merch table? Is he like dealing drugs or something?" Because that's what the drug dealers were wearing.
Sweatpants.
That was all the super popular in all the movies and TV to like wear the striped running suit, you know? And like, no, that's my bass player.
It was either Adidas or Fila.
From UPI.com, active volcano in Antarctica spews tiny crystals of gold worth $6,000 a day.
Wow.
Peter Schiff is going nuts.
Oh, I know. He's probably booking a helicopter right to that volcano.
I told you guys. I told you.
Did you guys see the Mad Max? What's the
Furiosa?
Furiosa. Yeah. When they when the head bad guy sort of releases the water onto the peasants. All the peasants are standing there down below the cliff, holding out their like you know hubcaps or like vases
they can
or
get.
Whatever.
That was just Mad Max Fury Road. Furiosa is the new one.
Yeah,
I thought you were talking about
Fury Road is the one I'm talking about.
All right.
Where the people are holding out of the pans or whatever. I imagine that happening near this volcano.
Okay,
where when this thing like you know it's spewing out whatever and people are just like hoping to catch. Some
getting hit with lava
crystals.
Rock, just burning a hole in their forearms, but screw it.
But you might get, $6,000.
All right.
We don't know. Right?
If Peter Schiff lets you in. he's got the place surrounded.
It sounds like a dream. This is from the article now. But it's true. In Antarctica, gold rains from the sky.
Wow.
I just love that. It's nice to think about. You know, I've done panhandling, like actual for gold in like South Dakota.
Okay.
Right?
Cool.
You know, where you go to a river
that's
downstream.
I've done it at Knott's Berry Farm.
Okay. Yeah. And I don't mean panhandling as in like I drew on a piece of cardboard and stood at the off ramp.
Right. Will work for
food. There's an attraction at Knott's Berry Farm. You can pan for gold.
Okay.
And you get to keep the little gold nuggets.
Is it actual gold?
Yeah.
So
it's probably that bubble gum.
Do they sort of add gold to the thing?
They must.
Because
it's an attraction. They must.
Yeah,
right.
It doesn't seem like that would be a...
I've got like a little vial of like two little gold nuggets that are just...
That you found there?
Well, I panhandled for it, yeah.
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 It costs like $5 and then you like keep whatever you get.
That's cool.
And you probably got like $2 worth of gold.
Probably. It doesn't matter. It's the experience.
Yeah. tucked among the glaciers... Fiery Mount Erebus, or Erebus, I'm not sure how to pronounce this.
Erebus?
E-R-E-B-U-S.
It's better than Boeing.
Erebus.
It's better than Boeing.
Yeah, I'm going to call it Erebus.
Antarctica, that's close to Argentina, right? Like Javier Milei should get in on this.
That's on planet Earth, right?
The flat Earth.
I mean, I don't know my South American geography, but the tip is real close to Antarctica, man.
Right. The end of the Earth.
Sure.
Antarctica is the end of the Earth.
That's where the wall is.
Yeah,
flat
the
Earth
giant,
run into.
The giant, yeah. Ice wall.
I'm just saying, if you're an ANCAP president and you get like you have quick access to a volcano spewing gold,
he could beat Peter Schiff.
And you're trying to build your country up,
right?
You know, get off the gold, get off the you know
American
the socialist
dollar.
Standard, and get you know whatever.
Yep.
Maybe you go get some of this volcanic gold.
Mount Erebus is the southernmost active volcano on Earth, providing a bit of heat amidst the frozen landscape. The frozen continent features 138 volcanoes, according to a 2017 study, with around 9 of them reported as active. With a summit elevation of 12,448 feet, that's 3,794 meters for you,
you
non-imperial
metric type.
measurers. Mount Erebus is the most well-known. Erebus is one of three volcanoes that form Ross Island.
Free Ross.
Free Ross. Hashtag.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be a much better name. It's certainly better than Schiff Island. And it said that it was erupting when it was discovered in 1841 during the voyage of Captain James Clark Ross.
Wait, how old is this news article?
It's written in the 1800s.
It's been erupting gold for 150 years.
No wonder why you can't
Looks
go
like
to Antarctica.
April 25th of
1924. Okay.
No, it's 2024. Let's see. It was Captain James Clark Ross. Like, I partially brought this in because they name a captain.
I'm a real fan
of this kind of thing.
All right.
Who carried out important magnetic surveys in the Arctic and Antarctic. And he discovered the Ross Sea and the Victoria Land.
Was it called
Land
the Ross
region.
Sea when he discovered it?
It was just the sea.
Just the sea.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he also discovered the Victoria Land region of Antarctica.
Wow. And he didn't name it the Ross region of Antarctica?
HMS Erebus was the name of one of his ships. So he probably ran out of stuff, right? Okay. You know, he's like, well, I already called something James. I better call something Clark. Better call something Ross.
At
better...
the corner of Ross Street and Ross Avenue, you'll find Ross's.
Yeah.
Gold Emporium.
Better name the sea after me, but we'll name the land after my ship, right? You know, what else can we name after?
Down the street from Rossville is Rosstown.
Yeah, over here we have the Ross Down.
Yes.
Ross Arctica.
Scientists still observe the volcano through the Mount Erebus Volcano Observatory.
The Volcano Observatory?
Yes. And conduct field campaigns to look for extreme life forms. Extreme life forms? Like libertarians? What do they mean? Speaking of number two.
The number two story.
We didn't even mention number two in this segment yet.
You said number five.
I know. Which, you know, if it's upside down, it kind of looks like a five. We got to make it backwards, too. But you know.
Number two.
Isn't it the same upside down? It's the same upside down. Right?
Two?
That's an eight.
Two.
Okay.
Upside down.
All right.
So turn it upside down and then invert it, and it kind of looks like a five.
Yeah,
okay.
All
right. Right? Kind of.
Kind of.
It's a stretch, but, okay. You know, go with me here.
All right.
This from, what the heck website is this? I've never seen
the number two website.
It's called Gothamist. Like Gotham and Mist, but one M.
Oh, I've heard of this site.
It says it's a nonprofit newsroom powered by WNYC, whatever that is.
New York City.
New York City television.
New York City. Where the best salsa's made.
I was going to say, that's where they make salsa, right? NYC lawmakers look to help pet owners do the right thing.
Pet owners.
With
pet owners.
Big poop bag bill.
Big poop bag?
With poop bag bill. Yeah, there's no
poop.
There.
A poop bag.
Apparently, I saw the word big poop bag and I said it, but that's not actually written.
So, okay. Right there at the headline, New York City lawmakers look to help. stop right there.
Well, they look to help. They just don't actually provide any help.
Right. They're looking to help, but they're not going to do anything except probably find someone.
Like, hey, look at all the ways we could help.
But we're going to.
But we don't.
We're going to give you a ticket for your dog.
How did society, like, maybe I'm just too young for this. How did society get on with dogs pooping everywhere? Was that just...
I don't know. Everyone's crazy with the dogs.
People owned pets before you had to, like, scoop your own pet poop.
So here's what happened at my house.
And I don't think it was a problem.
Here's what happened at my house, or one of the houses that I grew up in, where we had, at 1.3 dogs and two cats. All of the dogs were what we called newspaper trained.
Okay.
So in like the hallway between the kitchen and the family room, there was a door to get into the garage, right?
Okay.
In the garage, we would lay down some newspaper in a very specific area. If the dog was young and being trained and it pooped in the house, we would make them watch us pick the poop up, put it on the newspaper, carry it out into the garage, and then, you know, bring the dog out there, make sure the dog knew that that's where it goes, and leave it there. And so eventually the dog would mimic the other dog. The new dog would mimic the older dogs and like whine at the door to the garage to go because it had to go on the newspaper.
Okay.
Hmm. And so once it was newspaper trained, then we would take those newspapers. You clean them up every now and then, but you take one that's got like some fresh droppings on it and you make the dog watch again. You take it outside into the backyard, right? We had a fenced in backyard. So eventually this translated into the dogs whining to go out the back door into the backyard to do their business in the backyard. Now, they would do so, and then sometimes weeks would go by before, like, one of the children was punished in some way. Like, okay, you're on dog duty.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the pooper scooper. Go pick up all the poops in the backyard. Yep. And so, you know, you get in some trouble. You did something wrong.
I'm talking about more like when you're walking the dog or at the dog park or Well, you know, for us, it was like at the beach.
So, like, dog parks weren't a thing. They were just parks.
Sure. And dogs just pooped in the park.
Right.
Apparently.
And life went on.
Because
it wasn't bags everywhere.
Right.
No.
Right.
There wasn't laws.
Like, adults didn't carry a plastic bag with them to
pick it up. Pick hot it up. Poop. Yeah.
Right.
And then what? Put in your pocket? That's
I don't know.
So crazy.
That's the thing. It seemed more normal before.
Right. Yes.
Right. Where you went to the park, you're like, oh, we stepped in dog. And that was like.
Exactly.
Then you went and washed it off.
Kids don't know what that experience is.
So to
was it a problem? Was it a big problem where they had to like institute this type of programming?
To further complicate things, when we would take the dogs for a walk, like around the neighborhood, around the block or whatever. They wouldn't go in anyone else's yard. They would wait till they got back and then poop in the yard, which we trained them to poop in.
Right.
I mean, that's fair if you're going on a short
trip. Like, the male dogs would, like, you know, pee on the light pole and the fire hydrant and that kind of stuff. But, like, you know, they wouldn't poop in somebody else's yard because we trained them only to poop in our backyard.
Yeah. I mean, again, that works for short trips because they're out and about and people walk their dogs.
The other thing is when we would, like, take one or more of the dogs on, like, a road trip, you go up north to grandma's taking the dogs with you.
Yeah.
We would bring some newspaper. And when we'd pull up to, like, a wayside or something like that, we would just put the newspaper on the ground in an out-of-the-way place so that the dogs knew that that was safe to poo there.
Okay.
Right? And, like, I don't. Yeah, I'm assuming we picked that. I don't remember picking up the newspaper and crumbling it up and throwing it away, but I assume that's what we did. We just tossed the poo in like the regular trash can that was there at the wayside.
So responsible people were already picking up dog poo.
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
The law's main sponsor, Councilmember Julie Menon. Bye, Menon.
Oh, man.
Who represents the Upper East Side. How is a side an upper or a lower?
Because New York is gridded.
Yeah. But how can it be a side?
North side? Be the east side.
Because you got the east, central, and west side.
It's not a cube, though. It doesn't have sides. It's kind of like a flat
it's like
area.
East side, upper east side.
I'm not sure how it has sides.
Slang.
So the northwestern section of the city. Yeah.
The northeastern part of the United States.
She's throwing like gangs. Upper east side.
Represent.
She said she wants dog owners to have no excuse when it comes to picking up after their pets. Because apparently dog owners are just, they're making too many excuses.
You know, I didn't know he was going to go. I took him for his walk and I ran out of bags again.
This is his number two.
Oh, is that a law here? Oh, I didn't know.
There ought to be a law where the state provides me baggies. Then I'll pick it up.
That's
I'm calling my congressperson.
That's not how these things work.
Is there a law?
No, she probably stepped in poo and went, you know, there ought to be a law. Oh, wait, I'm the one that writes the law.
Right.
I spend other people's money so I don't have to step in poo?
Or some space cadet was like, man, I took the dog out and it went poo, but I forgot the bags, man.
So I just walk your dog at night.
So then they went over. No, what happened is they went over to the trash bin of the local park, probably emptied out some plastic bag that was in there with somebody's, you know, lunch wrapper or something. You know, and use that, and then ding, I could pass a bill that makes them have dispensers right here containing bags for us for free, quote unquote, free.
And she could probably steer the contract to one of her friends who runs the bag business.
It's like you know how government works.
Yes.
Is having next to a trash bin like the best place for it though? Like, the dog's not always going to go next to the trash bin. You got to have them like lined up periodically throughout the street on your way to a trash bin.
Usually you need to have the bag with you so you can pick it up, and then on your way back through, you drop it in the waste bin.
Right.
So you'd probably need to like recalibrate your dog walking to pass by the trash bin first.
Okay.
When you first take the dog out. Like, no, let's go over here, grab a bag, then walk the dog, hoping that they don't poo before you grab a bag. Otherwise, you got to do double walking.
We got to stop off and get some trash bag Scoob.
Oh, man. I was just thinking about what that looks like, a Scooby snack coming out the other end.
You're welcome.
It's going to be pretty embarrassing when you've got someone who has a dog and their dog goes to the bathroom on the street and you don't pick up when a couple feet away there's a dog waste bag, she said in an interview.
Oh, jeez.
No. No, because if he's not going to pick it up, he wasn't going to pick it up anyway, and he doesn't care about the embarrassment.
It's like,
right?
I would say
locks only keep the honest people honest, right?
And, right.
If you're going to leave your front door wide open all night long, don't be surprised if somebody walks through, right?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. what is it about, like the whole guns thing, right? If you outlaw guns, only outlaws will have guns because now everybody who owns a gun is an outlaw.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Except for the law-abiding gun owners. They'll turn it in real quick.
Richie, you're so funny.
You don't know these people? No.
I don't know anyone that owns guns that would be like, well, they said to come turn them in, so I got to throw them in the trunk, and I'll be back in a little while, guys.
Oh.
I don't know anyone that would do
that. Well, that's, because you live here.
Yeah,
I'm talking about the law-abiding gun owners.
In New York City?
Well, whatever. But my point is, they've passed gun infringements that have turned people into felons overnight.
Oh, yeah. They did that in Connecticut. Yep.
And there are a subsection of gun owners that went, well, I guess I got to turn in my bump stock and my triggers.
I heard it on the news.
Yeah.
I didn't get a certified letter from the state police.
Those aren't really gun owners.
They own guns.
Well,
they fit the definition.
Yeah, I don't think they do.
No, they're the law-abiding gun owners. This is why there's a qualifier.
right?
There's gun owners and law-abiding gun owners. And when a law is passed, law-abiding gun owners will abide the law and turn in the infringing part or accessory or whatever you want to call it, or will register with whatever the government says they need to form to fill out. Right? Mm-hmm. Oh, no, you can keep your pistol brace if you just fill out this form.
Us $200 a year.
Whatever it is. right? They'll do it. They'll begrudgingly do it, right? But they don't want to run afoul of the law.
Right.
I need to take a moment and just point out to our listening audience something very obvious. Beware of forms. Whenever somebody wants you to fill out a form for some reason, just beware of what you're putting on the form, because they don't delete those things. they take that and they enter it into a database where it is stored,
forever.
And it is there forever and ever and ever. So you're going to do a thing?
Here we go. A teacher's heart's on fire. She can put up a flame. Captain Kick-Ass got a heartbeat like a hurricane. But she's taken. She's got a ring on her hand. And her husband's catching on. He can't stand. With
that said, let's actually go to Gigi. You're on Free Talk Live.
Was that a secret message to me?
That was AI, but yes.
You guys are so cute. You really do crack me up, all of you.
You're the second caller with the theme song.
Two comments, both of which are just my personal opinion, and then I have a question which has nothing to do with my comments, if I could please do all three.
Okay, go.
Thank you. Number one, I am very concerned. I am very frustrated and to some extent frightened by the out of control violence that I see on various news programs around this country at universities and colleges. It does remind me, as a retired professor of history, of what we saw happening at universities in Germany and Austria in the 1930s.
Mm-hmm.
My second comment I would like to share,
the number
again,
two comment,
my personal opinion, is I am outraged once again by the Israeli government enforcing censorship, shutting down Al Jazeera, which in Arabic means the news, as in news that we watch at night. I think it is a violation of so-called democratic values and freedom of the press that they offer as a democratic country. I think it's hypocritical. And many years ago, not too many, but in the recent past, a Palestinian American journalist working for Al Jazeera, Shireen, I want to pronounce her family name properly, so if I'm mispronouncing it and a listener hears me, please bear with me and give me some leeway here.
Just give it a shot.
Ms. Shireen Al-Abziza.
Okay.
She was killed. She had a helmet that said press a vest that said press, and she was killed.
Might as well put a target on.
A sniper by an Israeli military person. We haven't heard a damn thing, not in this country or from Israel. Where is this American journalist?
It's the first I've heard of it.
Nobody
is from you.
Nobody is taking responsibility, and we ain't hearing nothing about it. And it's disgusting.
Well, we don't have journalists in the United States much anymore. There's a few of them here and there, but
they all write for The Gothamist.
Well, most of them just regurgitate whatever government press releases are fed to them instead of doing any actual real investigating.
I don't care if she was Mexican with green polka dots. She was working to promote awareness and information, and she was killed. And I have a problem that I don't hear anybody in America saying, let's find out what happened to this journalist.
Well, you're saying it now.
My question that has nothing to do with these comments is, now I'm reacting like a Jewish mother. I always got 1 to 2 letters a week from Ian. I haven't received a single letter from him in almost 3.5 weeks. Where is Mr. Freeman?
He has been moved to the federal facility in Devens.
Okay, that answers the question.
There is fresh information over at freekeen.com on how to write to his new location if you want to peruse that.
What state is he in?
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
Okay. So they took him from Stratford County Jail, and they put him in the federal facility, finally.
Yeah, he was at, I think, Merrimack is where he was, and then they moved him to...
Well, they put him in 2 county jails, and now he's finally in the federal facility, where I am hoping he will have much better nutritional meals, more information at his available access and better health care.
I don't feel like it works that way, though. I feel like him being held at the county level was going to get him better nutrition, more access. Well, so far that's the case.
Let's hope that we are both going to hear proper information.
Before I was a nationally syndicated radio talk show host.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds all holiday.
Where's your suitcase full of money?
And I was, before I was a musician, I was also a comedian.
Okay.
And I don't mean like I went out and did stand-up comedy. I mean, I wrote parody songs. I wrote funny songs where I changed the words of existing songs.
Not funny anymore.
Not funny.
I've got a couple things in the works that might be funny again.
Okay,
we'll try to do a swan song as I get older. Right?
All right.
But I still keep an eye on comedy, and I have felt for a long time that comedy is dying as far as stand-up comedy is concerned. Also, like, sitcoms aren't, like, they've changed, man, a lot, right?
I don't watch sitcoms anymore.
Well, when I do, like, I'll give one a shot every now and again and go, I'm so disappointed. They're just not good.
I mean, we were talking about Saturday Night Live. I haven't seen Saturday Night Live in a long time, but I don't know what is potentially funny on that show anymore.
I will tell you what's funny on that show. The Weekend Update.
It's still funny?
Where they switch jokes.
What do you mean?
They switch. They're
like, the two hosts of Weekend Update will write jokes that the other has to read. And they don't tell him what it is until it hits the teleprompter.
Really?
I could see how that's
funny.
Yep. That is hilarious. That is the best bit on Saturday Night Live. And then they did the Beavis and Butthead thing like a couple weeks ago, and everyone loved that. So
Now, this article from Outkick.com is going to talk about something that Jerry Seinfeld has said. Are you guys familiar with Jerry Seinfeld?
Yeah.
Yes.
He just did like the Seinfeld Unfrosted show. Movie or something about Pop-Tarts.
Now, I knew him way back when he was just doing stand-up. Not knew him, but like knew of him.
When he was just Jerry.
Way back when he was just doing stand-up. And I never really found his stand-up that funny. It was a little too dry.
What's the deal?
Yeah, it was a little...
With airport hand sanitizers.
Yeah, a little too...
Everything's in that plane is small.
Too much,
a little
but, but his television show, Seinfeld, right, was...
Great show.
Know, great show.
I got the whole box set on DVD.
DVD.
So the headline here says, Jerry Seinfeld slams extreme left... For ruining comedy.
Yeah.
Ruining. comedy.
I figure he would be left himself.
Jerry Seinfeld isn't a fan.
Have you watched Seinfeld?
Yes, I have. But
there's,
I mean,
some
if you're
very offensive things on that show,
right? Which would never, you'd never be able to get away with that today.
Jerry Seinfeld is not a fan of people who have ruined comedy. It's not a secret at all that comedy simply isn't what it used to be. Stop and think about how many great comedy films have been released in the past 15-plus years. It's not many. I can't think of one in the past 15 years that I've been like, yeah.
Like a comedy movie?
Yeah, like the last comedy movie that I can remember is like Anchorman.
Okay.
And that's got to be more than 15 years old, right?
I laughed a bunch at Ricky Stenicki.
I don't even know what that is.
Didn't see it.
Because you guys don't watch movies.
I watch a ton of movies. Okay. I probably watch as many, if not more movies than you.
No, you probably watch more movies than me then.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. But like I am picky about what I watch.
Well, there's your problem.
Right? No, that's not a problem. It's actually good for me. So I make good use of my time instead of watching crap.
Well, yeah. But if you're looking at comedy movies, right? You're looking at the ratings, that's not a highly rated category. Right, like horror movies, you're never going to find a 9+ rated horror movie.
Okay,
they don't qualify for that.
Sure.
So if you're looking for a comedy movie, you can't trust the rating system. You just have to watch the movie.
6.5 is sort of where I.
Okay.
You know, if it's 6.4,
it's got to be 0.5.
See, and 6. I don't trust
6.5 or up. I'm like, okay, you know, and that's IMDb, right? IMDb.
Okay.
I use their rating. I don't use Rotten Tomatoes. I will, on occasion, check Rotten Tomatoes just to make sure. Because if it's something where I'm like, well, the producer's good and the cast looks pretty good. And, oh, it's based on, like, a book or something. Like, so the writers didn't have to work much. You know, like, I'll give Rotten Tomatoes a look to see what they say and then maybe give it a shot because of that. But
there was the other one with Jennifer Lawrence, like, within the last couple of years. I forget the name of it.
Years.
Comedy movie?
Yeah. Well, this is off the top of my head.
And it was funny?
Yeah, it was hilarious.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
Seinfeld is now going on offense against those responsible for being outraged at comedy.
I feel like this is the same argument as the woke females saying that, you know, men just don't want to watch female leads in movies when the movie's just garbage.
Dude, okay, here's a television show that no one remembers because at the time it wasn't poorly named, but the name has become a poorly named series. It was out of the 70s, same time like Wonder Woman with Linda Carter and
The Avengers.
The original Shazam, right? And all that stuff was being aired, right?
The Hulk.
It's called ISIS.
Okay.
Is the name of the. Right. And it had this super gorgeous brunette girl in it. And she had that sort of like Egyptian look to her, right? You know, and that kind of thing. I don't even remember what her superpower was. But like, you know, that was a strong female lead and an absolutely crap show.
Okay.
Also, growing up as a kid, I used to watch this thing called the Croft Super Show. It wasn't broadcast all over the United States, but they would play different episodes of different shows within the one show.
Okay.
And one of the shows that they played was something called Electra Woman and Dinah Girl. And both female strong leads, right? Superheroes, right?
Okay.
That kind of a thing. There's a myth going around that like, oh, there's never any strong women in strong leads, or there hasn't been, you know, up until 20 years ago. It's like, no, that's not true. You obviously don't watch enough film and television. Has that number increased, the percentage? Yes, absolutely it has in the last 20, 30 years or so. But it's not like there was none, right? People make it out to be like, women never had any.
The complaint is not that there isn't strong female leads. It's that the movies aren't doing well because of the patriarchy.
Well, I mean,
sounds like the WNBA.
Movies and
which is picking up because they finally have a superstar. Who can, like, bring in money.
Yeah. Movies and television have an obligation a necessity to cater to the audience that will pay to see their films.
Yeah, and they don't.
And so if these movie studios are putting out films that don't work, they have to figure out why and correct that and make films that do work financially.
They probably do know what works, but are probably being steered to produce something else so they don't upset their social credit score, their DEI rating or whatever.
Let's find out what Jerry Seinfeld has to say.
Before you get into it, his recent release, Unfrosted, the Pop-Tart Wars movie that just came out like days ago.
Whose release?
Jerry Seinfeld. He has a movie called Unfrosted. It's about the Pop-Tart Wars. 42% on Rotten Tomatoes and 51 popcorn rating. So is it the woke left putting down, or is it just a garbage movie that's killing
it's
a comedy?
6.4.
It's less than
4.1.
Different system, but you get the idea.
Yeah. Nothing really affects comedy. People always need it. They need it so badly, and they don't get it. Used to be you would go home at the end of the day, and most people would go, oh, Cheers is on, MASH is on, oh, look, it's the Mary Tyler Moore Show, or All in the Family.
Oh.
You just expected there would be some funny stuff we can watch on TV tonight. Well, guess what? Where is it, Seinfeld said on the New Yorker Radio Hour.
It's on the torrent sites. You just watch those old shows again.
Right.
To be fair, Jerry Seinfeld is old.
How old is he? Or I'll ask the magic rectangle.
If only there were a device. The famous comedian then tore into the woke mob for being responsible for ruining great comedy, and he didn't hold back. This is the result of the extreme left and PC crap and people worrying so much about offending other people. I still feel like, you know, I haven't attended any stand-up comedy since COVID, and I really want to. The problem is, well, I live here, and there's not a lot of that.
You got to see Jim Brewer in a parking lot.
That was the last stand-up comedy that I saw, and he was still funny, and he was funny enough that he actually brought the current political situation into his show and did it with great taste and tact. I thought it was kind of surreal seeing a guy on stage, you know, 10 car lengths in front of me, you know, with screens all around and everybody tuning in on their radio or whatever to hear the audio, talk about how everybody's being locked down and it feels like the world is different now and that we're all, you know, sort of trapped and like we're in these like little mini cages at the drive-in, you know, kind of thing.
It does feel that way, doesn't it, Jeff?
And I'm looking around, I'm like, wow, man, I just had a surreal moment as he's like,
I can't even leave this 10-foot square to go to the restroom.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, me and Ian and somebody else was there with us. We all went to walk up to the merch table and to see what kind of t-shirts and whatever they had, you know, maybe get a Jim Brewer shirt or something.
Mask.
And but there was this area of field between us and the merch booth, right? There was nothing in this area of field except for there were these little tiny stakes with little tiny string connecting the stakes as if that was going to keep anybody from walking.
It's the COVID-free zone.
And it was literally like a half a foot tall. So like, you know, a small child could have, you know, stepped over this with no problem. We do that, of course, because we're cutting through on our way, like as the crow flies, to get over to the merch table, which you can visually see. The merch table was not busy. There was not a line. You know, we're like, oh, let's get over there, right? So start cutting across the thing. Here comes Mr. Security Guy.
Oh, geez.
Right? Like, oh, you guys can't walk over that. Like, we're just going over to the merch table. Like, nope, you got to go back and you got to go all the way around. We're like, guess we're not going to buy any merch today, right? And like, sorry, Jim. You know, the security guard was a Richard Cranium.
Hall monitor.
Yeah.
Did you tell him to keep his 6 feet distance? Just keep walking. Just stay six feet.
Yeah.
Six feet.
Somebody in the group did. Like, he got a little, whoa, 6 feet, buddy.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. You got to throw that back at him, man.
Yeah.
They did that to the manager at the Apple store around that time.
The genius?
No, he wasn't a genius. He was the manager.
Must not be a genius to be the Apple manager of the Genius Bar.
He kept coming and bugging me about the mask.
Somebody told me Apple is creating a thing called the Genius Bar, and I'm like, oh, I can go get drunk with a bunch of smart people? They're like, no, not that kind of genius. I'm like, well, is there another kind? Like, you know. But then I moved here. I'm like, oh, I see.
The genius of Apple's, you know, customer service and what do you call it, technical support, is that they just replace it.
Right.
Like, they don't fix anything. They go like, oh, it doesn't work. Okay, here's another one.
Right.
Yep.
Genius. If
that's it.
That's why they're geniuses.
They don't take it apart. They're not like over there, you know, with the soldering iron and battery, you know,
microscope. Right? Yeah,
I know. Just go like, oh yeah, you're right. It's broken.
What's the name of the thing the diamond guys use to look at the diamond? The monocle.
Okay.
L-O-O-P-E.
Loop.
A loop.
Wow. Very well.
A jeweler's loop.
Yeah.
Right. You learn something new every day. Well, almost every day.
I did not know.
At
least on Sundays.
On this show.
We try sometimes.
But you'll always get a number two on Sunday.
Well, not always. Not always.
Sometimes you get a double flush.
That is true.
It averages out.
In honor of Mark Edge being around and also producing this show tonight, I would like to go to our next story. This from thesmokinggun.com. Florida man.
Florida man games.
Age 46, arrested for road rage al dente.
Ooh. Al dente.
Road rage al dente? You mean
like a dent in his car?
If you throw it against the wall, it sticks?
Al dente. Spaghetti.
Okay. Well,
that's how you're supposed to test your pasta, right?
Is that al dente, though?
You throw it on the ceiling.
I think so.
If it sticks.
Okay. I don't know.
Yeah. Al dente is still a little chewy. I don't know if it'll stick if it's a little chewy.
I think it will.
Okay.
I
don't throw my food in the kitchen. I just kind of taste it and go like, that's al dente.
I've got a wall that just has like little spaghetti marks.
Okay.
I don't. It's all right. Not true.
with the date on each one. Like, oh, yeah. That's good.
The victim in the drive-by attack, cops say.
Drive-by?
Wait a second. Drive-by? What did he do?
It's a noodle gun.
Florida man, age 46, arrested for road rage al dente. The victim in the drive-by attack, cops say, was hit in the arms, legs, and torso by a road-raging Florida motorist.
So that's why Mark flee to New Hampshire.
We all wonder why he's back.
Yeah.
We know now.
Kept driving and kept driving.
Some of what they say.
Who's they? Wait, who's they?
Dave Champion, Chris Gronsky, the other ANCAPs.
Bear arms, for that matter.
Whatever, Some of what they say is based in truth.
Yes.
Long ago, right? Like at one point in time, if you did not cross the bar in the courtroom, they may not have had jurisdiction, right? And a buddy of mine, he just telegrammed me a couple days ago, said, I got my case thrown out. I challenged from without passing the bar and not going through. And, you know, this was like a month-long process of going back and forth. This was like COVID stuff when he had to zoom in.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, they just threw it out.
Wow.
I tried all these things and they finally just threw it out. I don't know why they threw it out. And I went, well, it's probably not from all the garbage things you tried, right? There was probably something else in there that allowed
technicality
them,
or something.
Well, something.
Well, yeah. Or
but they will take credit for it.
Or they were just tired of dealing with him. And were like, you know what?
Either way.
He's wasted more of our time than we ever thought he could, and so we're tired of him.
Either way.
But they will
get victories, and they will attribute those victories to the methodology that they espouse. Right. Even though it has nothing to do with it. Now, personal experience. Right. I have gone to court. And one of the things that I do when I go to court is I don't say or pronounce my like legal last name.
OK.
They call my name and they say, like, what's your name? And I go, I am Rich. And they go, what's your last name? And I tell them how they spell it. You guys spell it like this. And at one point in time, like, you know, the judge was having none of this.
Oh,
right. He said, stand over there. And so I stood to the side. He called my name and the legal entity again.
Yep.
And I went, I'm here, right? That's your name for me. I'm here. He's like, shush, 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 shush. Like, shush,
shush, shush, shush, shush, shush, shush, please.
And I went, all right, well, let's see where this goes.
Okay.
Right? And so he called the name like a third time and then declared in court for the court record that the entity was not present. The legal fiction, the corporate all cap spelling of my legal name
was not there.
And then he's called me again, Rich, like approach.
Mm-hmm.
Do you appear on behalf of the legal entity?
Oh.
I went, yeah, let's see where this goes. And the legal entity has been fined or whatever. And are you going to do the community service on behalf of the legal entity? I went, sure.
Oh, you did?
Well, this is the first time for me, man. Like,
oh, all right. Yeah.
Like, why didn't you say no?
I don't know.
Okay.
Because I wanted to see where this was going.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
Like, if it happens again, I'll probably say no, just to see where it goes. That, you know, this is a fork
just,
in the
road. Like, I just kind of know you a little bit, and I'm thinking Richie Rich doesn't want to be doing this.
I don't want to be doing it. But when they go to arrest the legal fiction, they're going to put handcuffs on me. Right?
Because you represent the legal fiction that is there.
But this was a new fork in the road, and I went one way, and if I get to that fork again, I will take the other path.
It's like playing Candyland.
Right. Yeah. Shoots and ladders, right? Sometimes you go up, sometimes you go down. But so I literally, by the court's own records, did the human being Rich, right, did community service on behalf of the legal fiction.
The legal name. Yeah.
Of how they spell my name. That's like, that's on the record somewhere in Hawaii.
Wow.
Right?
So that's precedent.
I don't know if it's precedent, because this is probably something that's established long ago in the 1800s or whenever Hawaii became a state. Mm-hmm. 1900s. But either way.
57? 59?
58. Whatever. Doesn't matter.
I was told there'd be no math.
But point being, with the English tradition.
Right.
Like, some of this stuff seems to be legit. And I have personal firsthand experience of some of it being legit in some form or fashion. Now, did I get away with anything that day? No, I still did the community service.
Yeah.
Right? So, like.
But you have firsthand knowledge.
But I have firsthand knowledge. Yeah. So the judge is probably thinking, well, this will get him to do the community service without putting up a fight.
Right.
He gets to have his little, you know, fantasies about the sovereign citizen movement.
Ha 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 joke.
Right. Yeah. And that was his way of just pressing it through. Mm-hmm. Right? That's likely, objectively, that's likely what happened. Right, but if I'm a sovereign citizen, I go like, look at this. They clearly separated the legal entity from the man. There's something to this, right? And then they go down the rabbit hole and they dig deeper and they come up with weird old theories that sometimes work and sometimes don't. Right. You know,
so you've got that on your side.
But when it works, you can't. There's no consistency of when it works that you can attribute back to the technique that they're using.
But if you did not do the community service for the legal name, they would have taken you out in handcuffs.
They would eventually come back for the man.
Right.
They would like, legal entity, you are under arrest. I'd say, well, I'm not the legal entity. Well, we're going to arrest you on behalf of the legal entity.
Right,
and
right.
I'd get arrested nonetheless.
Right.
Right.
Right. So what difference does it make?
Yeah.
You know, they've got the guns and the cages,
mm-hmm.
right? You're going to end up there at some point if you fight them properly, you know, if you fight them improperly enough.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is. So we entertain the theories because they're great in theory. They're terrible in practice.
Circling back to the Florida man arrested for road rage al dente.
Oh, okay.
Forgot all that story,
yeah. Yeah, I know you did. Cops allege that Nolan Goins was involved in a road rage incident over glaring headlights Thursday night while driving near St. Petersburg residence. The defendant threw food, pasta with sauce, from the passenger seat of his vehicle, striking the victim through his open window as he operated his vehicle, reported a sheriff's deputy.
So he wasn't even going, he was going the same direction as the guy with the two bright flash lights, headlights?
Yeah.
Why is that even bothering
you? His passenger side? Like, what, did he get in the other seat and throw it out?
Because if it was crossing paths, he could have just threw it out the driver's side.
Maybe he turned around and, you know, it was a couple lanes or something. Yeah. I don't know.
You almost blinded me.
Here, take this, Chef Boyardee. Have a can of this.
Contadina, save me. It's in there. It's like Prego.
It's in there.
Goins was found with the same food stains on his right sleeve as the male target of the pasta pelting.
They did a forensic analysis.
How much did that cost the state?
They had some guy to lick both shirts. Yep, that's the same sauce. Seen at night, Goins was charged with battery, a misdemeanor, and booked into the county jail. Goins, who was freed on a $1,000 bond, is a painting contractor whose rap sheet includes convictions for selling marijuana, obstruction, and battery twice, as well as a multitude of traffic infractions.
He just has road rage.
It sounds like it.
Late for work.
And apparently he's self-medicating with marijuana.
You'd think that would calm him down.
You would think.
Just let him do the drugs.
It probably does. He probably just wasn't high at the time, right?
Well, if he was high, he wouldn't be throwing away his pasta.
He'd be like, no, man, this is a snack.
Why does that truck have four headlights?
Oh, my gosh. Investigators did not identify the kind of pasta or sauce used in the alleged attack.
That would destroy the restaurant's reputation.
Right. We're waiting for forensic results.
Or tarnish the brand name in some way. Right. You know?
Prego was used in this one. That Ragu gang down the street is going to be furious.
Was it Barilla pasta?
Barilla pasta.
Does it even get any cheaper than that?
I don't know.
Barilla, I guess much cheaper. Barilla is like medium, mid-shelf pasta.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Store brand.
I'm spending too much.
Probably. It's also unclear if Goines was transporting his dinner or leftovers home or whether he regularly travels so armed.
We want to know.
Uber Eats driver, and now there's someone hungry too.
I can't wait for the follow up of this story. See what happens.
The smoking gun is on it. Yeah. Journalists.
Yeah, they're on it.
Oh man, food fight, road rage.
Have you ever been in a food fight?
In school, yeah.
Okay.
No, they used to break out. Not regularly, but like. I distinctly remember a food fight breaking out in like sixth grade in the cafeteria. And, you know, it was like crappy lunch day anyway. They had something that most people didn't like anyway. And everybody's trying. I don't know about you guys, but when I was in like the middle school, people would barter with their lunches.
Oh, absolutely.
It was currency. You had a dessert. You would try and barter it for somebody else's, like, you know, potatoes. Or if it was pizza day, you're like, can I get half your pizza? I'll give you my cherry tart or whatever. Right.
I once ate two school lunches in 5 bites just to get an Oreo cookie.
Whoa.
Ah.
It's like, I bet you if you finish this in 5 bites, you get an Oreo. I'll give you an Oreo. Deal.
Deal.
And then you did it?
Of course.
We have Shane calling from Tennessee. Shane, you're on Free Talk Live.
What's going on, guys?
How you doing, brother?
Oh, I just figured I'd call in and give you an update since the last time I called.
Can you recap the last time you called for the listeners who didn't hear?
And the first time you called.
The first time I called, that was the first time I called. My second call. First time I called, I wanted to make sure that y'all were not an AI put in by the government to track us all down, you know?
I'm pretty sure I'm not.
Only the songs I produce for chronic callers.
Okay. Well, I, as I told you before, I was recently released from federal prison. I'll talk to you about that and some of the things that went on in the federal prison, because I know a couple of your guys went to prison.
Yep.
Over some stuff. Right?
All right.
Over nonsense.
Yep. Over nonsense. Yep.
In our case.
Yeah. Over nonsense. So after that call, about, I don't know, a month or so later, the Halfway House, which is, you know, supposed to be a nonprofit organization that houses prisoners to help them readjust back into prison, decided to violate me, and they sent me to the Memphis Penal Farm for 65 days. That was the end of my time. So I was down March 21st. I was completely released except for my probation.
Okay.
So now the phone I am calling you on has government monitoring software on it.
Oh, good.
So everything I do, text, chat, email, whatever, it all gets sent to this company and then gets sent to the probation officer so they can review it and make sure I'm doing nothing illegal.
Hey, everybody, say hi to the feds.
Hey, hello. Hi, feds. Hey, how are you? Hope you're having a good time.
No, I don't.
Yeah. So
burn.
When I got out of the penal farm, the probation office paid for me to stay in this other halfway house for 3 months, and this place is a dump. This place is run by some former bosses who charges these guys $900 a month to stay here.
Wow.
And 80% of their food stamps the first month, and then $150 a month for the rest of the months that they're here. And he feeds them cereal in the morning, bologna sandwiches for lunch, and then usually just some throwed together kitchen sink stuff for supper.
You know, this reminds me of foster care, where somebody decides to get on the government gravy train, collect a check from, you know, the government of one flavor or another to provide some sort of a service, but to maximize their profits, of course, they do things like you describe, where you get the cheapest, worst experience that you could have.
Yep. So he gets $900 from 25 guys that stay here a month, plus their food stamps.
So what's the alternative?
For me and a lot of the guys that are here right now would be living on the street. They have about four blocks away. There's a place called Tent City.
Okay.
Where a bunch of homeless live. And that's the only other option.
That's that famous Queensryche song, Tent City Women.
Okay. So, I mean, I get that it's government run, and I guess it's relatable to foster care, right? But if it's like, if it's the best alternative you can choose from, right, then is it really all that bad?
I mean, rather than being on the street, it's not that bad. Because I've been on the streets before, but he's not government. It's not government run. He's a private individual who has it listed as a 501c.
Right.
Well, but if he's collecting $900 a month from the state to care for you,
he's an NGO.
Yeah, I mean, government doesn't actually do anything. They just subcontract all the work to other people.
I get
people.
It. But if he's, how do I want to phrase this?
I don't know.
He's the tenants are not paying him, right?
The government is paying
him. The government is paying him.
Right, yes. Right.
So
each of the tenants. The way it works is when the guys get out of prison, in the state of Tennessee, they have something called a RPH program, something that pays for them until they get a job.
Okay.
Once
okay.
they get a job, they have to pay themselves.
Okay.
Or if they're on like disability, like I would say half of these guys are on disability.
So is there no place, if you're paying for yourself, is there no place with cheaper rent than $900 a month and a whole bunch of food stamps? Like, why is the alternative the street?
Well, a lot of places around here won't rent the felons. The one motel that will rent the felons is $900 a month too.
Right.
And it's usually full all the time.
Well, so, and like felons have a much more difficult time finding employment than anyone else.
I get it.
Oh yeah, I done went to 12 jobs interviews from Indeed.com, and as soon as I tell them I'm a felon, I don't ever get a call back.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.